When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers just lost 17-13 to the Tennessee Titans in a very important preseason game. I'm going to ream them next. Actually, no, I'm just going to go through the players who stood out position by position and talk about the latest with Brandon Ayuk next on the Grant Cohn Show. Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show. I'm Grant Cohn. I'm not in Nashville because I pay for my trips and it's a long way to go and it's preseason. So you will see me on the road once the regular season starts. I'm at home. Niners lost. I'm livid. How dare they lay an egg like that? No, we'll take a mature look at who stood out, good and bad, the good and the not so good. No grades for the preseason. We'll go position by position, but first, I think we need to start with Brandon Ayuk. I'm so sorry, but as long as he's on the team, he's the biggest story. I don't care what happened in a freaking preseason game. We're not going to lead with Rock Ya-Sin and Cam Latu. We're not. Not here. Not on this channel. We're going to start with Brandon Ayuk. And so, I didn't stream yesterday. Didn't stream this morning. Let's catch up. Ever since my last stream, there's been a report that the 49ers and Ayuk have re-engaged in talks and that there's optimism, presumably coming from the 49ers, that they're going to get a deal done for an extension. An hour after this news breaks, Ayuk goes on social media and says there's two options. Pick one. Meaning pay him the money he wants in an extension or trade him to Pittsburgh. Some people might say there's a third option, which is make him play on the fifth-year option, but I don't think the Niners want that distraction. I don't think that's the distraction that I don't think that's the missing ingredient to a Super Bowl victory, that whole thing. Maybe you disagree. I think the Niners want a resolution to this, and I don't think that's the resolution they want. So it seems like the Niners offered $26 million a year. Pittsburgh reportedly has offered $28. He wants to go to Pittsburgh. He's cool with taking $28 from Pittsburgh. So, you know, doing some math, ipso facto, all the Niners need to do is offer $2 million a year more to match Pittsburgh and get Brandon Ayuk to stay, right? Simple and easy as that, right? Wrong. And let me explain why. I'm not being snarky. This is serious. Let's do some math. I got the numbers written down, okay? And as a 36-year-old male in America, I'm sensitive about this stuff. So, in the great state of California, where I live, where Brandon Ayuk might be living long-term, the income tax, the state income tax for the richest people, me, Brandon, 12.3%. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not in that tax bracket, but Brandon would be. 12.3% of your income goes to California in taxes a year. In Pennsylvania, it's 3.07%. Flat rate. No matter how much money you make, if you live in the state of Pennsylvania, only 3.07% of your income goes to the state. So let's do some math, okay? $28 million a year coming from the Steelers, that after taxes, after state taxes, is $27.1 million a year after state taxes. If he's on the Steelers, if he has the same exact contract on the 49ers, can anyone do the math real quick in their head? $24.6 million. That's a huge difference. That's almost $3 million difference per year. So I did the math. And I haven't taken a math class since 2006. So you guys are free to check me on this one. But according to my calculations, for the 49ers to offer Ayuk the same exact amount of money after state income taxes, they would have to offer him $31 million a year. $31 million a year to get to 27.1 after taxes. Do you have a life-size picture of the 49ers offering Brandon Ayuk $31 million a year? Or do you have a life-size picture of Brandon Ayuk accepting less money after taxes from the 49ers than the Steelers? So where does this leave them? Exactly where they were a week ago. The Niners can talk about progress or talks or whatever, but I don't see how they get over this. I don't see how they get over this hurdle. It feels like the Niners went to this meeting and they were like, hey, Brandon, let's start negotiating. What else can we do to sort of sweeten the pot? How about a year-long membership to YouTube Plus? YouTube Premium? No ads. What do you say? $100 gift card to Chipotle. They're delicious. I love Chipotle. What do you say about that? How about 30% off a purchase of at least $100 at Levi's? What can we throw in to sort of, it's like, nah, man, I'm going to need $31 million this season. I don't see what else gets it done. Ayuk isn't stupid. It doesn't seem like he wants to play for the 49ers more than he wants to play for the Steelers. It seemed like he would be okay with either team. And if the Steelers are offering $28 million, that's 27.1 after state income taxes. The Niners would have to offer $31 million a year to get there because they're in California. You don't think his agent knows that? You don't think Brandon knows that? If he doesn't, I just told him, Brandon, you watch the show. Big fan. Love your work, man. I'm a fan of you too. Don't settle for less than $31 million a year. Do the math. Get a calculator. I promise. I'm 82% sure I got this right. So don't accept like a gift card or stock options or none of that. It's got to be $31 million. It has to be in cash too, in a briefcase. Otherwise, it doesn't count. Just wanted to let you know that. So that's enough, Brandon, I think, for now. Enough, Brandon. Why don't we go through the game tonight? Because the Niners played. Let's go position by position and talk about who stood out. The Niners had two quarterbacks play in the game. Brandon Allen and Joshua Dobbs. Brandon Allen looked pretty good. He had a bunch of nice throws. He had some nice throws down the field. He had some long third and long conversions. Only led one scoring drive. And that one scoring drive was a Jordan Mason drive all the way. More on him in a minute. So while he made sporadic plays, he couldn't really move the offense. If he were the number two quarterback on this team, I wouldn't be that confident in him ever winning a game with this team. But he was okay. Not bad. Then Dobbs came in, and he moved the offense pretty well. He had a really nice third and long conversion where he stepped up in the pocket and sort of scrambled around a little bit and threw a pass while on the run over the middle. And then he had that nice touchdown run where he got hit and spun around. But then on the two-point conversion, he nearly threw a pick. That didn't count because of an illegal formation, but it would have counted if it had been picked. And then at the end of the game, he ran backward on a freaking, there was like pressure in his face, and he ran backward and took a 15-yard sack. And then at the end, he had a receiver open deep, Tay Martin, and overthrew him. I mean, neither quarterback inspired much confidence. That's sort of what they look like in practice. Like Josh Dobbs, I mean, he's okay. He's pretty accurate on like slants and curls and swings and anything within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, but that deep pass to Tay Martin was pretty bad. They say he's smart, but like there was a play where there was a blitz and he had a hot route. Like he threw to Jake Tongas and he was wide open, but he waited like 2 seconds to make the throw. And then he was covered by the time he got the ball out. I don't really like either one of these quarterbacks. I'd like to see Tanner Mordecai. I'd like to see Trey Lance, man. Maybe the Niners can get Trey Lance out in the field and see what he's all about. I didn't see anything from these two guys that makes you feel like, oh, okay. Like, you know, if Brock goes down for a month or a season, they're good. The quarterbacks were pretty underwhelming. They were like in the CJ Beathard realm. Like, is Brandon Allen better than CJ Beathard right now? Is Josh Dobbs better than CJ Beathard right now? That's my analysis of their play. How do I feel about Josh Dobbs as a quarterback? If you're listening on audio, I'm making a face. Sorry, I can't describe the face. It's kind of the face a toddler makes when he has to go number two. You know what I'm saying? I'm describing my look. It's sort of like a I don't really know and I don't really care at the same time. Like, I'm a little constipated, but I'm also thinking. That's the look. So I'm still thinking they would have been better off with Trey Lance or Tanner. I want to see Tanner. But frankly, we've seen a little bit of Tanner in practice and he hasn't been great either. So hard to say. Let's talk running backs. So all the starters sit except for Colton Kivitz. There's some starters playing. Jordan Mason is not a starter, but he's going to be playing with the starters this season. And he was like the best, the most impactful player in the game. He was the MVP. He had one drive and it was all him. None of those. And there were some starters playing for Tennessee. Like, they didn't want any piece of Jordan Mason. It's great that he's learned his blocking assignments, because that's important. If you don't know your blocking assignments, you could get someone killed or you could end someone's career. Lawrence Phillips did that with Steve Young. Didn't know his blocking assignment, got Steve Young almost, you know, decapitated. So that's important. Knows that, can catch the ball. But damn, he's so good at running. He looks just like Marshawn Lynch when he runs the ball. I don't even know if he knows who Marshawn Lynch is. I asked him, who do you model your game after? It was like last week, and he was like, I don't really watch football like that. Like, I watch film, but like in my spare time, I'm not watching football, which is incredible. I don't think you understand that not all football players are football fans or football junkies the way you are. You probably know more about the rest of the league than Jordan Mason does. But anyway, that guy was freaking good. And you're watching it, you're like, okay, Christian McCaffrey has a calf injury right now. There's no reason for Christian McCaffrey to lead the freaking league in touches again. 339 touches, led the league last year. He should be at like 275, 250, way less. What is the, you don't need to wear down Christian McCaffrey in the regular season like they did last year. He should be playing at his best in January, February, which he wasn't last year. And like, what's interesting about McCaffrey is like, he had the opportunity to become an all-time great Hall of Fame running back in that Super Bowl, and he fumbled on the first drive and never ran like himself ever again. He didn't break a single tackle the rest of the game. So just giving Christian all the carries and asking him to be Terrell Davis doesn't work. He's not that kind of a player. I think he'd be even better in a platoon, in a tandem. Of course, he would get many more opportunities than Jordan Mason, but I think an increased usage role for Mason would help the offense and help McCaffrey. After him, Cody Schrader didn't look great, honestly. Jordan Mason is so decisive and powerful and hard to tackle, and Cody Schrader looked a little like, I mean, he fumbled. He didn't find much daylight. His best run didn't count. It was a 14-yard run around the right that came back because someone committed a holding penalty. I forget who. Was it Ronnie Bell? I don't really remember, but I thought his best contribution came as a kick returner. We'll talk about the special teams later, but Cody Schrader didn't look like a guy who's necessarily going to make the team, at least based off of this game. Maybe in the future, maybe when he does the joint practices this week. But and then Matt Breida, he looks kind of like, was it Breida or Schrader who fumbled? It was Schrader. It was Breida. Sorry, I'm tripping. Because Tim Ryan said it was Schrader first, but then it was Breida. Either way, neither one really had any big runs that counted. Neither guy looked good. So Elijah Mitchell, you're still probably good. Christian McCaffrey, I'm willing to wager he's going to make this team. But with McCaffrey and Mason, you don't need a ton of running backs. So Schrader's going to have to show something. Didn't show it yet. Let's talk wide receivers. Ronnie Bell started, and I like Ronnie Bell. Like, you can see he's like, he almost makes really incredible plays, but he had that deep pass down the sideline. He jumped up. He almost high pointed it. He's explosive. And then it hits him in the chest. I feel like there's like a degree of inconsistency with him. That's frustrating. And they're not going to play him. He's not going to have a role on this team if he's inconsistent, which is exactly what Ronnie Bell is. He flashes. He'll have a day. He'll make a play. But you can't really rely on him to do anything well. No offense, Ronnie. I'm just saying, like, what is it that you are super consistently good at? Catching the ball, returning punts, running routes? I mean, nothing. But he has this, like, tantalizing skill set where he could be super versatile and good at a lot of stuff. But it's year two, and he's not quite there yet. A lot of times they say wide receivers take 3 years to develop anyway. I wouldn't write him off. He should make the team. But maybe as like the sixth wide receiver. I didn't notice Jacob Cowing out there, did you? I'm not sure Jacob Cowing's going to make this team. He's done absolutely nothing, and I don't know. They could put him on IR if they want, redshirt him. But the guys who are impressed, Chris Conley's looked good all offseason. He's older, but you could argue like roster politics is the kind of the only thing that's held him back. He's a nice addition, and if Ayuk isn't there week one, he's not a stiff. He's a good player. He's fast. He's bigger than Ayuk. He's faster than Ayuk. He's not as good as Ayuk, but he's a solid player. Tay Martin looked good. Tay Martin looked more consistent than Ronnie Bell, although Ronnie Bell was playing in the first quarter and Tay Martin was playing in the fourth quarter, so there's a difference of competition, but I thought Tay Martin looked consistent. I mean, he had like five catches for 58 yards. Frank Darby made a big play and then caught another pass that was, he was like led out of bounds, but he looks like a, he's been making plays like that in training camp too. And then Trent Taylor played well. I want to give him his props, but like when he makes catches, I'm like, they're not going to put him on the team, are they? And I don't know, because they were calling plays for him left and right. They love Trent Taylor, but they also had him on the field in the fourth quarter, which makes me feel like practice squad. We're looking at practice squad for him, but I don't know. That's how I feel about the wide receivers. BurnDog79 says, has Dobbs ever been given a real chance to adapt to a system? Okay, let's look at Joshua Dobbs. Has he ever been given a real chance to adapt to a system? I mean, he was at Tennessee for like 8 years. He played at Pittsburgh for three years. He was in Pittsburgh for 3 years. So, yeah, I mean, look, what was cool about the Niners backup quarterback competition last year with Lance and Darnold is there was a legit question. Like, can either of these guys become a starting quarterback in the NFL? And Darnold is a starting quarterback for Minnesota right now. And Trey Lance still hasn't done anything in his career. But there was still like two guys who were the third pick in the draft. There's some upside. There's some potential here. With Dobbs, he'll make a nice play or have a good drive. But like, no one's like, oh man, this guy might be a starter. He's decidedly not a starter. And neither is Brandon Allen. And I think the Niners want it that way. I don't know. Dobbs is Montana and Zach Wilson all in one, says Lamont 757. Yeah, pretty much. Joe Crowell says Tanner Mordecai used his sixth year of eligibility to go to a college that believes the forward pass was a mistake. Bring back Trey or Arnez Battle. Well put, Joe. I can't disagree with you. Okay. Let's talk tight ends. So Kittle didn't play. Eric Sobert looking like the favorite to be the number two tight end because he's a good blocker. And he had a nice block during the Jordan Mason drive. So you can see what they're looking for. He's going to catch like two or three passes this year and play like 200 snaps and block. So I don't see what it is. Can I just go on a tangent real quick? If the number two tight end never catches a pass, why not just have a sixth offensive lineman on the field when you want to do that personnel grouping? Just saying. Okay. So Eric Sobert, good blocker. Brayden Willis, interesting. Seventh round pick last year. He is dynamic. he makes some catches in camp. You're wondering, like, how are they going to use him in a game? They put him at fullback today. And he was not good. Tim Ryan is diplomatic, and he works for the team, so he's trying to be positive. But even he was like, you know, you'd like to get a little movement from when you're leading the fullback up to a linebacker. You'd like to get a little movement when you isolate the fullback on a linebacker. Yeah, like, you're not going to get that from Braden Willis. He's a receiver. He's not a good blocker wherever you put him. So that's a guy who's not going to play for the 49ers because their backup tight ends are blockers. Then we got Jake Tungus. Like, of the guys who were receiver specialists, not much, kind of lean, not really great blockers, Willis and Tungus. Tungus seems just more, I don't know, productive, consistent. Now, he was playing later, but someone to keep an eye on. He kind of gives off the Ross Dwelly vibes. And then finally, we got big Cam Latu. Yes, you thought I'd forget? Absolutely not. He caught two passes today. In your face, doubters. I've never doubted Cam. I'm a huge Cam Latu fan. Maybe the biggest one. As I've always said, he's a great player who can play any position extremely well. I'm just saying. So good for Cam. Two catches, no drops, no fumbles. You got to love that. And then finally, let's do a little offensive line before we get to the defense. Over here on the Grant Cohn Show, powered by BetUS. Just want to shout out today's sponsor. Hell of a sponsor. As you can see, I got the little logo above me. That's high tech. You're probably sitting there wondering, like, how did he put that logo on the screen? I wonder. These are the things I wonder, too, but I don't have the answers. 36 years old. I don't understand technology. Okay, offensive line. All I know is on, like, the third play of the game, Cole McKivitz had a false start. Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it. Why does Colton McKivitz start at right tackle over Jalen Moore? That's my question. Because of run blocking? Because it's not like they ever run the ball to the right. They can't run the ball to the right. If he's a good run blocker, I wouldn't know. The other day, someone compared Colton McKivitz to Mike McGlinchey in a press conference with the offensive line coach, Chris Forster. And Chris Forster was like, whoa. McGlinchey was an elite run blocker when he was younger. Colton's not that. He said it just like that. Not just like that, but it's kind of like that. He said McGlinchey was an elite run blocker when he was younger, and McKivitz is not on that level. Okay, so he's a serviceable run blocker and the worst pass blocker of any offensive tackle who starts in the NFL. Jalen Moore looks like a solid pass blocker and maybe not the best run blocker in the NFL. But you're not running to the right anyway. So maybe maybe acknowledge that, like, your quarterback is important and really good, and keeping him healthy is, like, super important. More than keeping Jimmy was healthy. More than keeping Jimmy healthy was important. Man, I'm not speaking well today, but that doesn't stop me. I still stream. Do I need language to stream? Yes and no. I could just throw words out there. Dominic Pooney started and looked pretty good. He seemed to get some movement at the point of attack as a run blocker, which the Niners, I mean, no offense to Spencer Burford, but he's not getting movement at the point of attack. John Feliciano got a little bit, but it seems like he's hurt. Like, he's been hurt all offseason. With Feliciano, you almost wonder, like, are you going to retire? Like, when was the last time you were healthy for more than a day? Pooney's clutch. I'm just saying. Of the rookies, based on camp, I was thinking Schrader was the number one rookie on the team because he had a lot of long runs in practice, but that's practice. It's not a real game. There's no tackling. We saw him in his first preseason game. It wasn't great. Pooney, when, like, it was actual live, what is the word? Action. He's good. So that's the best rookie on the team right now. Ricky Pearsall hurt. Renardo Green figuring it out. Dominic Pooney starting and looking like an asset to that offensive line. Malik Mustafa looked good too. I'm going to talk about him in a minute. But first, I want to talk about my sponsor. My sponsor, BetUS, which is the number one sportsbook on the internet. If you're looking for a new sportsbook this football season, BetUS is the answer. They got the fastest payouts in the industry. They got 125% sign-up bonus up to $2,000 on your first three deposits. Yeah, you heard that right. They got fast and easy deposit and withdrawal process. They got 24/7 personalized service, 365 days of the year. They have live wagering on all major games, live wagering. Best betting variety in the business, 10% back on your net losses twice a year. And you get your very own personal account manager. Check out my BetUS link in the description below to play. Oh, wow, they signed me out. But you know what? I'm signing back in. I'm using my little finger. Boom. Hold on. I'm back. So what I want to do is look at week one odds. Okay? Niners. Niners, Jets. Niners are 5-point favorites at home over the Jets. That's an interesting line right now. Because when I look at that line, I look at a line that assumes Trent Williams is going to be on the team. That line assumes that Trent Williams will be on the field week one, and we don't know that to be the case. And even if he is on the field week one, what's he going to look like? And if he's not in football shape, what's the offense going to look like? So I'm trying to be savvy here. I want to win. I'm not betting on the Jets to cover the spread, although I kind of like that bet. 5 points. The Niners are 3-6 all time without Trent Williams since 2020. All time. But what about the over-under, 44.5? Give me that under. These are two really good defenses with two really bad offensive lines, both teams. And the Jets have like the worst offensive coordinator in football. They're relying on Aaron Rodgers to do that. And good luck with that one. So I'm taking the under on this one. I also kind of want to take the Jets +5. Just to be, I mean, come on, like 5 points without Trent. I don't know about that one. I'm not saying the Jets are going to win. I'm not saying they won't either. I don't really know. Rams, Lions. Lions, 3.5-point favorites. I'm going to tell you something. I like the Lions in this game. The Rams look good on paper, but I can't name anyone on their defense. Like, they're trying to go real young and cheap on their defense. Meanwhile, the Lions have a little bit more invested over there. And the Lions are interesting. Like, they're tough to beat at home. They're really tough to beat indoors. And I think a big reason the Niners beat him in the NFC Championship game is because they were at home. It was at Levi's. And Goff is way worse outdoors. He's way worse, on grass. But this year, the Lions have, I believe, 14 games indoors. Isn't that messed up? 14 of 17 games indoors. So if they win and get the number one seed, that's going to be tough for the Niners to get back to the Super Bowl. So that's something to look for. Cleveland Browns -1 over the. Can we find the Steelers? Where are the Steelers? There they are. Okay. +1.5 on the road against the Falcons. Please. Are you kidding me? The Falcons, I don't buy the Falcons. I think the Steelers are going to have Brandon Ayuk. I'm picking the Steelers in that one. And then one more game just for fun. Packers, Eagles. Oh. Packers, Eagles. I'm going to pick the Packers to upset the Eagles on the road week one. Okay, we place my wagers. You tell me what I'm allowed to do. I'm putting the max, baby. 50. Okay, sure. Okay, sure. Love it. See, they'll tell you how much you can put. $100. Okay, whatever you want. Whatever's good for you, baby. Oh, hold on. No. 100. Okay, cool. No? Okay, cool. I'm placing my bets. I'm making it official. There it is. $250 to win. No, $271 to win $250. That's what you got to like right there. Boom. There it is. Thank you, BetUS, for sponsoring my channel. Okay, let's go defense. Defensive linemen. Starters didn't play. Who stood out the most of the defensive linemen? Easy to say, right? Kalia Davis. Who is Kalia Davis? He was a late round pick in 2022. He was in the Brock Purdy draft class. It's one of the worst drafts in franchise history. Thank goodness they got Brock. Other than that, Drake Jackson, Danny Gray, Ty Davis Price, Samuel Womack, Spencer Burford, Tariq, I mean, just awful. But they also had Kalia Davis. And Kalia Davis isn't a bust. He's a late round pick. He was hurt when they drafted him. He's been rehabbing for years. Now he's healthy. Kind of like the Javon Kinlaw story, right? Knee injury, took a while. But so far this offseason, no setbacks, out there every day, doing well in one-on-ones, translated. He had a sack. He had two tackles for loss, one against the running back, one against the quarterback. I don't know if he's going to play much this year because at D tackle, they have Hargrave and Collins and Jordan Elliott and Kevin Givens. But honestly, I like Kevin Givens a lot. Kevin Givens is a good pass rusher. He's great in those one-on-one drills, but he's an undersized defensive tackle. I don't even think he's 290 pounds. Forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm sure he's not 300. And he gets pushed around the run game for sure. Kalia Davis looks like a guy who could be good against the run and the pass, hold his ground, and get after the passer. Like, he looks like the closest thing they've had to DJ Jones since they lost DJ Jones. I think Kalia Davis was a big... his emergence in this game was a big part of what we saw. It was clutch. It was huge. He looks explosive. He looks strong. He looks like he can anchor. He looks like he can get in the backfield. It looks like he's good on all three downs. What a nice addition to the team. Jeff Caravella says, where was Ricky? Any targets? Did he dress? Ricky was in like Santa Clara. He didn't even travel with the team. Good question. Dave Barclay has been a member for 31 months. Did anyone really show out longer than 31 months? Longer than 31 months. Did anyone really show out? I would say Jordan Mason made a big statement on that first drive. Dave Barclay says, Mason be workhorse this year. Closer. No, they're going to give him four carries a game. The coaches huddle. What's up, coach? I'm a huge Cam Latu fan. F out of here, Grant. Cam is my Brock Purdy. I found him first. Yes, you did. Coach is a big Alabama fan. When they drafted Latu, he was extremely enthusiastic and excited, and I was down on him because he ran a 4.7 or a 4.8. I just didn't like that he's slow. And ever since he started dropping passes, it felt like confirmation bias, like, oh, in your face, he sucks. But he didn't drop passes today, and you can see he's big and he's imposing and he seems tough to – like he should be tough to tackle, although he went down today. I'm a Jake Tongas guy. I found him first. Lamont 757 says, Mason gave me Kia Stinger vibes, unpredictably sweet, not really fast, but all the power when you need it. Mason has twin turbo. Start Mason over CMC. Did you just say the Kia Stinger isn't really fast? Excuse me? I don't think you've driven the GT2 with the all-wheel drive. Excuse me. Dave Barclay says, Lamont, I don't drive fast, though. Just want to put that out there. I drive really slow, but I know that it can drive fast because I've read books, literature. Dave Barclay says Lamont wouldn't have paid CMC, kept Mason. CMC's hurt now too. Dave Baker, your opinion on Kyle not calling plays? I'm getting there. Dave Barclay says, love seeing other creators in here. Love you all. It's quite nice. Thank you guys for shouting, for being here and being yourselves, because that's what matters. Brother Bob says, I like our new fake OC better than the real one. Dave Barclay says, can count on Brother Bob to tell disturbing facts. Brother Bob says, Dave, okay, I will be like lame turdy. Kylie equals best ever. Dave Barclay says, how does that guy fall over like a failure like him? I love when they just have conversations in the super chat line. Why not? Let's talk linebackers. This is very interesting. So you got Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw coming back eventually. Devondre Campbell didn't play. Devondre Campbell got cut. Devondre Campbell, kind of slow. Ideally, you get someone else than Devondre Campbell. He wasn't even their first choice. They want Eric Kendricks. Fine. First look at Jalen Graham and D. Winters. D. Winters popped to me at first. He made a tackle on the 1 yard line. He really hit Will Levis hard at the 1 yard line to stop a touchdown. And I was thinking, Dre Greenlaw, goal line, 2019, week 17, in Seattle, clutch. Here's Dre Greenlaw. He made another play on a tackle for loss deep in the backfield. It looked almost like a run blitz. I don't know if he just was reading his keys and he had a feeling or whatever. I mean, that was a great play. Other than those two plays, I felt like, one, he was lost in coverage. And two, he kind of stuck on blocks. Like if on a screen, he would just get blocked and couldn't get off and it would be a big play. The Titans were running the ball really, really well with Winters in the game. So I don't know about D. Winters. It looks like he's really fast and he might be able to cause some havoc, but I don't know if he necessarily is like focused in on his assignment and what he needs to do. He might be a little bit kind of like, you know, like, you know, oh, ball, person, you know, a little excitable. We'll see. Maybe he just hasn't played very much. He made some nice plays, but he's going to need to show a little bit more to take Devondre Campbell's job. Then Jalen Graham, I can't remember one play he made, and it looked like when he did make tackles, he was hanging on, dragging people down. And if he hits you at like, you know, the 5 yard line, he's getting dragged to the 8. He's Robert Saleh used to call that leaky yardage, and that's what Fred Warner did when he was a rookie. Fred Warner started as a rookie, but go back and watch Fred Warner in 2018. He was not a good linebacker. He would hit someone and that person would take him for a ride. And then Fred Warner came back his second year, like way stronger with all this muscle he didn't have before. Must have really worked out hard that year. Did something good for him. And now he's been a different player. He's been an all-pro since then. I think the most impressive linebacker in the game was the rookie, Tatum Bethune, 48. It looked like he did a better job. Like, he's not as fast, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's as fast as D. Winters, sideline to sideline. But I think he's a little bit better at making plays between the tackles, shedding blocks. Seemed like he was consistently making tackles more than D. Winters. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd have to look at the box score. But as I watched the game, I kept thinking, oh, there's another nice play by Tatum Bethune. Oh, there's another nice play by Tatum Bethune. I didn't see any plays where I'm like, well, he was lost on that play. Or, man, he was Velcro on that play. Never saw that with him. Winters, I felt that a few times. Like, Winters almost gave me like Ronnie Bell vibes. Like, oh, very explosive. You have potential for some really high-level stuff. But you're kind of inconsistent. I don't know if we can trust you on a veteran team that has high expectations. Tatum Bethune. Now, I don't know if they're going to play a rookie at linebacker. But in 2019, they played Dre Greenlaw at linebacker. He was a rookie. They went to the Super Bowl. So watch Tatum Bethune. You watched him. I mean, obviously you watched the game. But I'm just saying, keep an eye out for him over the next few weeks because their linebacker situation is bleak. Who the hell is starting next to Fred Warner? You need two starters. And you got Devondre Campbell and Demetrius Flanagan Foles right now. I don't know. They might be okay. They might be okay. But it might be nice to see Tatum Bethune and D. Winters in there. Let's talk linebackers. But before we do, we'll take some super chats. James Wilson gives me $10. Thank you, James. Please get rid of Ambry, says Dave Barclay. Okay. Lamont 757 says, how much can we get for CMC? That's a good question. Could they get a first round pick for CMC when they traded for him? They didn't have to give up a first round pick. Second, third, a fourth, and a future fifth. Grant, why don't you have a podcast? I do have a podcast. And go subscribe to it. It's on Spotify. And Apple Podcast. It's called The Cone Zone, CONZOHN. And this season, I am going to make an effort to do one show a week, strictly audio. Audio only. So go subscribe and leave a 5-star review and mention that you like the way my voice sounds, that it's buttery, and that you like that I have a handsome face and I'm good looking, even though you can't see it when you're listening to the audio. Just be like, look, you don't know. You're listening. He's got a great voice. He's so smart and funny, but he's also extremely attractive. And I say this as a football fan and a guy, and that doesn't take anything away from my masculinity. He's just very good looking, and it's pleasing. It's nice. It's better than looking at, you know, someone who's not good. I'm just saying. Dave Barclay says, Bethune, Malik, and Green look good. They did. Christopher says, Tanner Mordecai didn't play. Damon Dickerson says, Mustafa is going to give the Niners a dynamic three safety look. I agree. Can we do that? Harris says, Dave Barclay. I don't know. Okay, let's talk DBs. I'm going to start with the corners. Rocky Sin is interesting. He's older. He's been in the league a while. He had some big injuries. And when the Niners brought him in, you're thinking like, I don't know if he's going to make it. He's a little bit older. They've drafted some corners that they're invested in. How invested are they really in Ambry Thomas and Samuel Womack? This is an older team that had Logan freaking Ryan on the field on the final play of the Super Bowl. They want vets. And Rockyason looks like a better player than Logan Ryan. Like, Rockyason looks good. He made a couple pass breakups in this game. He played the whole game. I think he's going to make this team. I think Rockyason, however, he was like 28, 29, is going to take some 23, 24-year-old's job. And the Niners don't give a damn because it's all about this year and maximizing this window with their old players. So Rockyason, stock up. Ambry Thomas. Is this his fourth year in the league? What are we talking about with Ambry Thomas? Yeah. Has he ever improved? He was better 3 years ago. He started in this game. Whoever he's alleged, it's hard to say he covers someone. He lines up near them. He's in their general vicinity. You could say he follows them. He stalks them. He gives them like a wide berth. And then they catch the ball and you're like, man, that guy was really open. Who got beat? And then eventually you see 20 come in to try to make the tackle. I don't think he's going to make the team. I think he made the team the last few years just because they drafted him in the third round. And they didn't want to cut their own guy. I kind of get the feeling that was an Adam Peters pick. Maybe I'm wrong. But now that Adam Peters is gone, I don't think there's anyone sticking up for Ambry Thomas in the organization saying, we got to have him on the team. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be here anymore. Malik Mustafa, safety. That's, I feel like, other than Jordan Mason, you're waiting for a guy that you don't know or a rookie who hasn't really done anything to assert himself on this stage, which isn't a big stage for George Kittle, but it's a big stage for Malik Mustafa and Cody Schrader. And like, in Cody Schrader's first action in the preseason, he did nothing. And Malik Mustafa's first action in the preseason, he popped off the screen. He's clearly a really big hitter. What did he force a turnover on downs? Malik Mustafa looks like he's more explosive than George Odom and Talanoa Hufanga. He hits harder than those two. And he made a play on special teams as well. So that might have been the big story of this game, like the rookies, Puni and Mustafa. Renardo Green looked good too, but he also had some moments where he got beat. Mustafa made plays. Puni looked nice. George Odom's looked good all offseason in camp, but I'm still curious. Is he really going to start week one? I guess we'll see what happens to Talanoa Hufanga this week. They're going to have these joint practices with the Saints. I'm going down there. I'm bringing my golf clubs. Do I look like I wouldn't bring my golf clubs? I haven't really done the investigation, but I imagine that Irvine has some nice golf courses, and I'm going. You know why? Because this is America. That's right. It is. It really is. Lamont 757 says, so if when CMC gets hurt and Mason is baby beast mode, What would Kyle do next season other than draft another back? LOL, so pay Mason. Let him walk. They're going to give him a blank check, man. You already know. Gojira Von Jinx has been a member for 35 months. Is Aubrey Thomas broken? Really? Sorry, Ambry. Didn't mean to take shots if you were broke, if you're hurt. Lamont Wright, and of course they draft running back again, says Dave Barclay. Lamont says, can we talk about Kyle's mullet, Joe Dirt or not? I feel like Kyle and Nick Sorensen have the same exact look going right now. Have you guys noticed that? Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator look exactly the same. Surprise cut make for the roster as of today. Thomas getting cut or IR'd. Yassin's making the team. Oh, can I go back to D-line for a second? Robert Beal sucks. I'm sorry. But he's terrible. He can't stop the run or his own read or rush the quarterback. Okay, special teams. And then coaches, and then I'm out. They don't have a kick returner. It ain't Ronnie Bell. It ain't Trent Taylor. Maybe it's Debo. But I don't really think they want Debo Samuel returning kickoffs in the regular season. That's like in the fourth quarter of a big game or the playoffs for sure. But like, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think they want to do that. So it Trent Taylor shouldn't make the team. Ronnie Bell isn't the kick returner. Probably shouldn't even be active on game days. So I'm wondering what they're going to do here. I actually thought Cody, of all the kick returners, I thought Cody Schrader was the best one. But he's probably not going to make the team. They also don't have a punt returner. And they couldn't like cover a kickoff. Now, these were backups. But a lot of the people on the special teams unit anyway are backups. So like, I feel like the Niners had their special teams out there today and it sucked. Jake Moody was fine. Mitch Wishnowski's hurt. The punter has knee irritation, and the backup punter had like a 30-yard punt in the game. He sucks. So I don't know. I'd hate to see the Niners season end because of special teams this year. And then coaches on defense. They were going to show some more like exotic pressures. Maybe they'll save that for the regular season, but it didn't seem like they put any pressure on the quarterbacks in this game. And then what else did I want to say about the defense? Oh, so Malik Willis comes in the game, and he's not a good quarterback, clearly, but he runs the zone read and comes out in the second half, obviously trying to get him in rhythm. Obviously, they're going to run that freaking play, and the Niners are completely caught off guard and give up a long game. I'm not going to crush them because it's preseason, and who cares, yada, yada, yada. It's just that they never stop that play. They can't stop it in August. They can't stop it in January. They can't stop it in the rain. They can't stop it on a train. You know what I'm saying? They can't stop it at all. Even if the Cat in the Hat were there, they couldn't stop the freaking play. And it's like, why can't they stop the play? Well, I've been at every training camp practice. They don't practice it. You would think with Josh Dobbs on the team, that would give them the opportunity to at least get that look. Maybe they'll do that later. Maybe when they're, you know, maybe that's why Josh Dobbs is on the team. So when they're playing a team like, I don't know, the Eagles or the Ravens, any team with a dual threat quarterback, they can have Josh Dobbs run the practice squad that week or the scout team that week, the scout team. But it's been 13 training camp practices and they haven't run one zone read or defended one zone read. So how could you expect Robert Beal to know what to do? I wouldn't. Not anymore. So, okay, let's talk offense then. So Kyle Shanahan didn't call the plays. Instead, he let Clay Kubiak call the plays. And his best play was give the ball to Jordan Mason. When he didn't have that play call, he didn't look so good. And then he had Josh Dobbs in the second half. Dobbs scored a touchdown. Clay Kubiak got a little excited. Let his emotions get the best of him, went for two. You can't do that in that situation with so much on the line. This is a preseason game, okay? These games matter. They count. He goes for two. They don't make it. Now you're down four. You could. This could have been a tie game. It could have went to overtime. Nothing. There's nothing I like more than a preseason game that goes into overtime. I want more preseason. Also, when the Niners challenge plays in preseason, yes. You got to get this right. It's very important. The outcome of the game depends on this. You got to challenge that. Timeouts, challenges. It's an important, serious game. Stop messing around, Clay. That's all I wanted to say. Odom is pretty consistent. He makes it right, says Dave Barclay. Yeah, but Malik Mustafa might be a little bit better. Brother Bob says, clearly we need to fire Steve Wilks. Duh, they did that already. David DeLay says, just went on Damon Bruce's stream and said Kyle isn't able to win a Super Bowl regardless of how talented the roster is. He got so pissed. Why would he care? I don't understand. Like, Damon Bruce used to be the, like, tell it like it is, shock jock, I don't care. He came up like 20 years ago when the Warriors sucked, right? And he'd be the guy like late night on 1050 when seven people were listening, really giving it to the Warriors on their home radio network, which was kind of cool, I guess, 20 years ago. But now he's just another bootlicker. You hear that, Damon? Yeah, you're just another bootlicker, and you're ugly and stupid. Dave Barclay says, Dr. Grant Seuss, one team, two teams, everyone sucks. No, just Damon. Damon sucks. Everyone else is cool. Tim Lord, $9.99. Thank you, Tim. Dave Barclay, David DeLay. Ha 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 ha. Okay, I wanted to go out on a very professional, mature note, which I accomplished. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching. And the Niners are now 0-1 in the preseason. How are they going to bounce back? What are they going to do? How are they going to circle the wagons? Well, we'll talk to Kyle tomorrow and see what he has to say about such a poor performance. Clay Kubiak, are you kidding me? Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.